I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn. Sheila Hyland is on the West Coast visiting her hometown in Portland, and she will return in a couple of weeks. Meanwhile, this is episode 28, and today emanating from the Corbreewood Studios in West Deer. Is this West Deer, Jim?
Yes, it is.
West Deer. Okay.
Corbreewood Studios.
Jim Podolsky is Face for Radio Productions. He's the man behind the camera. And my good buddy Jim Krenn, no guest lined up today. It's just you and me, brother. And I thought
you and me
have enough stories between the two of us. So I want to start by sharing my encounter with Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Oh,
you know Bill Nye, the Science Guy?
I do, and I love the fact that Larry does this thing with Robert Morris. It's a speaker series, if you don't know about it, and he talks to the most fascinating people with this series, from Bill Clinton to Bill Nye, the Science Guy, that Larry gets to have dinner with usually. Dan Rather, whoever it is. And you tell me, good. I love it.
It's incredible. And by the way, the University of Pittsburgh just took over the series.
Oh, they did?
They're
okay.
Going to start their 20th season next year. And the last one was Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
I want to go in one of these with you. I can't
they're remember. At you got to come, man. Because
I'm in.
Last month, it was the former Prime Minister of England, Theresa May.
See, that would be just fascinating to have dinner.
And then you get like the head of the CIA, and then you get a center. You know, it's a great mix of talent.
So you go to dinner with them and stuff? You hang out?
Yeah, they come
so cool.
To a dinner. Now, they've had them at Duquesne Club. They've had them at the Fairmont. They've had them at the Renaissance in downtown Pittsburgh. So my encounter with Bill Nye, the Science Guy,
cool.
Was at the final speaker series event till next season. So they introduced me. Now, keep in mind, the Renaissance is the old Fulton Building downtown where the backside faces what was Three Rivers Stadium, now PNC Park, and the entire North Shore.
Wow. Okay.
I used to work on the 11th floor at WEEP Country and WDSY, which is Y108. That was my first professional job.
So you were a country guy?
I was country before.
I kind of remember
cool.
This. Let me tell me the country.
So we would look across from the studio.
I just can't picture you doing country, man.
It was originally.
I just can't picture.
Jim, this is so crazy. It was originally, this was a new
record. Larry in a pickup truck. Why do you have a harmonica?
And Jim Podolsky, as a record man, you'd appreciate this. The theory was we're going to take the popular country music songs of the day, and you know how they used to have that Muzak, where elevator music, where they would take Beatles songs and make them with an orchestra. And so they took country music and they hired an orchestra. They called it the Daisy Custom Orchestra because DSY was Daisy.
So they made it
orchestrated.
Fresh is the springtime breeze, and you would hear, instead of think of the most famous voices of the time, even old school guys like Johnny Cash, instead of I Walk the Line, it would be this orchestrated, lush music.
Up, I Walk the Line.
It was hideous, man. But you do anything to get into business. You know, just get on the radio.
Did you have to wear like flannel shirts and do remotes and stuff like that? And did you have to go, hey, I'm Larry Richard?
I met people like
that. Go, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be on, you know.
Dottie West.
Work on a tractor. Whatever.
One day, the Steelers were playing across the river at Three Rivers.
Yeah.
And I was on the air on a Sunday. And I was kind of sitting there. And, you know, I was upset because I couldn't watch the Steelers game. It was a playoffs against the Houston Oilers.
How old are you?
I was 22.
Okay. Country Lair.
Yeah.
22.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who knocks on the door?
Who?
Charlie Daniels.
That's pretty cool.
He sang the national anthem at the Steeler game that day because he's a big Steeler fan. And then he had a concert.
What, did he just show up and go, hey, Larry?
Well, he came with his
guy.
Country
Larry.
Charlie Daniels is a big dude.
Now, he comes, shots.
He comes with his guy that's like 6'6", all dressed in black with the hat and everything.
Whoa.
Black hat, black. And he's his bodyguard. And they were scheduled to do an interview. And I didn't know they were coming because we had two radio stations. He was going to be on Weep.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, my God, that's Charlie Daniels. So.
You don't lay your hand on a Pittsburgh Steeler fan.
He was so nice, Jim.
Really? He's cool?
Oh, he was totally cool. And I'm like, hey, oh, man, welcome.
And you're shocked. He's like,
I'm shocked. But he's doing a show that night at the Civic Arena. So he did the day game, the Steeler playoff game.
Comes in and hangs with you.
And then.
Country Larry.
I remember the date. It was December 29th that year.
That's funny.
And on the way out, I saw him again after he did his interview. And he goes, you coming? Y'all coming to the show? This is what he says to me. And I go, I don't have a ticket. He goes, you do now. He goes, hook my man up. He tells his bodyguard, so he gets my name. He gives two tickets, so I went. I got to go backstage.
That's cool.
And all of a sudden, it was cool to be a country fan because Charlie,
Charlie
had a different vibe, you know?
He's cool. Yeah, he's got that. Yeah, he definitely has that, you know.
And he, you remember the song he put, a Pittsburgh Steeler fan?
Yeah, you don't lay a hand on a Pittsburgh Steeler fan,
baby. That was me.
That was you, buddy.
No,
Country Larry. He still talks about Country Larry till this day. I remember I was sweating Jack Daniels. Walked in, there's Larry Richard. Country Larry.
He passed now, Jim.
Oh, I know.
He's gone.
That's his honor of his soul, Larry.
But Bill Nye, the science guy.
Thanks for telling me so I don't mention him again.
Yeah. Just so you know.
You gotta always mention if someone passed for me, okay? Just so I don't mention him again. At least.
Why,
I will do that.
I totally get it.
I will do that. I will mention sometime in their honor. I'm talking to them up in heaven. But anyway.
Hopefully
Bill
that's
Nye,
the case.
Who is alive.
So Bill Nye, very much alive.
Very good.
We're looking out into PNC Park from the Renaissance Building across the river. They have, remember when the Fulton Building, their elaborate marble entryway, their lobby used to be heaven, the nightclub heaven.
Many nights there,
And so Bill Nye's looking out across into PNC Park, and they introduced me as the moderator for the speaker series, and they said he's with KDKA. And Bill Nye's looking out there, and he goes, KDKA Pittsburgh.
He knew the
jingle? He knew it was the original radio station.
But he said the
And he said radio, one of the greatest inventions in human history. And, of course, he would be right.
Up there with the phone?
He's Bill Nye, the science guy.
Those two. Yeah, he's Bill Nye. He knows. What am I saying?
So he was really popular. They had the youngest audience they've had in 10 years.
Wait, Bill Nye's audience?
Oh, his audience. It was a lot of students. There were teachers there.
He's the science guy.
There were, and I have three kids. When they saw, I posted a picture of me with Bill. I got a text from each of my kids independently going, oh, my God, Dad, you're with Bill Nye, the science guy. And I've been with all these, as you saw the list of
presidents.
Yes.
And, you know.
They didn't care about any
of
that.
They'd rather, whatever, anchor people, whatever.
But the one takeaway with Bill Nye, before we move on, he said when he was in third grade, he had a teacher, and she told the class that if you look up on a clear night, there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand.
Wow.
And Bill said he went to the beach, and he goes, wait a minute. He says, "There's, come on, this is ridiculous.
Right.
Look at all the sand. It goes from the way to north around.
I'm with him on the debate.
Right.
But he's...
And then when he got older and when he learned more about, he's really into space travel and he really into the universe. And he said, then he realized that that was really wrong.
Does he have a legal weed card? I was curious. I bet he does.
They actually asked him about
it. No, but yeah. He probably has it, I'm sure. But anyway, good.
No, he's not an imbiber, although
he said...
I
just imagine him having
it. He said every
he
other
have it.
Every other storefront in California is a nail salon, some kind of weed store.
Yes, yeah. Or an edible weed store.
And I forget what like the other bakery. Place was. But probably a Chinese
I don't
restaurant.
Know what made me think that. I guess because the whole, you know...
Yeah, I know.
Hey, man.
He's eclectic. You can tell eclectic. He's smart. And he's really sharp, and he's got a good sense of humor. You would appreciate that, because he can think on his feet. So anyway, he said after he learned that it was exponentially more stars than there is sand, to give you some idea. And then he goes, I realized I'm nothing. I'm not even a grain. I mean, compared to what's out there.
Right.
Not to get too
small,
heavy.
Small, little, minuscule, yes, compared to the universe. Yeah.
But he was very popular. Bill Nye.
That's an interesting guy. So where did you have dinner with him? Did you have dinner at the place?
At,
did you go?
At the Renaissance.
At the Renaissance, you had a dinner?
They have on that second floor. If you walked into the old Fulton Building lobby, you remember the marble staircase?
Yeah. So that's where you had dinner,
on the second store facing the Allegheny River overlooking PNC Park. They have this
spread
banquet room.
Oh, see, I thought you like took him to like Cracker Barrel or somewhere nice. You know what I mean? Bill Clinton would have been great there. He loved Cracker Barrel.
I love Cracker Barrel.
God, okra sugar. Have you ever had
it? I did take
mac and cheese here.
When we did Amazing Racer, the movie, John Mowat and I wrote and produced, we took Lou Gossett Jr., Academy Award winner for his movie.
A Million Movies,
Officer and a Gentleman, remember?
Well,
we took him to Bravo in Robinson.
Ah, there you go.
This is like on a Thursday night, and people were walking by the table.
That looks like Lou Gossett Jr. And it was.
And Frank Johnson, the director, was there. You remember Frank?
Oh, yeah.
And my son came with me. Now, my son had never seen Officer and a Gentleman.
Right.
But him and Lou were so gracious to him. They hit it off. They're talking. And then when we leave... I said, you've never seen his movie that he got an Academy Award for. And he goes, no. We stopped at Walmart, bought the DVD, went home and watched it. My son was blown away. He goes, Dad, oh, my God, he's so good. I'm like, yes, that's Lou Gossett Jr.
The Academy Award nomination, that's the man. He's pretty damn good.
Do you remember that movie?
I do, yeah.
I want your D-O-R mayonnaise.
I want to know, Lou Gossett is great, but... The best one you had Daryl Hannah in that movie.
Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah, come on, from Splash days. This is Daryl Hannah. Pretty amazing. Was she pretty amazing?
Yeah, she's very talented. I mean,
did she go to Bravo ever?
No, we didn't take her to dinner. Who?
No.
We took Krista Allen to Nema Coleman.
I love Krista Allen.
Do you know her?
Oh, God, she's so hot. Yeah, I love her.
She was the girlfriend
actress.
Of Eric Roberts in our movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I saw your movie a while ago. I couldn't remember.
I didn't realize
that she is
when she
stunning.
Came to the set, she was in some of these
brilliant.
Emmanuel movies. Do you ever remember?
Yes, I do. Yes, they're like kind of.
And all the guys on the set were like kind of going.
Hard R-X-ish kind of, sort of.
I'd just say a hard R.
Hard R. Very hard. Very hard R. She is a rather amazing actress. Yeah. She's still acting. She's actually looks
Yeah, she was just in something recently.
Still, yeah. Beautiful woman.
Where my wife says, isn't that one of your actresses from the movie? I'm like.
Are you allowed to say beautiful woman anymore? I don't know. Am I allowed to say that?
No. I really wish you would.
I shouldn't have said
no,
that.
No, you shouldn't.
She's
I feel
a
bad
beautiful
now.
Woman.
We better
and
say.
And very brilliant and all that, but still, and a great actress.
Let's take a break then.
Again.
We need to
Again.
Refresh. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland back with us in a couple of episodes emanating from the Corbreewood Studios in West Deer.
Yes.
And it's a really cool space.
John Bento's house.
John Bento and Face for Radio's Jim Pitolsky for putting this all together. Episode 28. Back with Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland's taking a couple of episodes off because she's traveling to her hometown out west. Hope she's having
Portland.
A good time, Jim.
You know, I was in Portland right before the pandemic at a comedy club there. And Mark Eddy and I were there, co-headline. And it was the most interesting. I like that city. It's a real cool city, man. It reminded me of Pittsburgh a bit in a way.
It's
got a good vibe, you know?
It's edgy. How would you describe it?
I would say
a lot of homeless people.
Yeah, I got there early when I remember doing a club, and I went to a cigar shop because cigar people know the city. So I always like to go in a day early when going to play in a city performing. And they're always welcoming cigar people. So these guys, hey, what's it like here? And he said, well, you'll like it. Edgy, great city, great foodie city and all that stuff, which is great restaurants. You know, edgy kind of restaurant, different stuff. But anyway, they said the homeless, there's a problem a little bit because people are flocking here because the weather's not extremely bad or, you know, not extreme cold and things like that or extreme heat. And they have a lot of laws where you're allowed to just plant yourself right anywhere, like basically on the sidewalk or there's no, you weren't allowed to move the person, put a little tent up right on the sidewalk, be like walking on Penn Avenue, putting a tent up, I'm living here, no one could see in front of a store or whatever. And they said the average income was $70,000 a year for a homeless person, 60 to 70.
What?
Swear to God, if you hustled, you could get 60, they were making 60 to 70,000.
And they had no rent. Or mortgage.
No rent. Cardboard boxes are not much. And they were so good that there was a Friday show, second show. We were flip-flopping. One guy would open. Mark and I taking turns opening. So I opened the second show, and I said, I'll meet you back at the hotel. I'm going to leave. And so it's Friday night. So I'm waiting for my Uber outside to get back to the hotel, and this guy comes up. The homeless guy, and he goes, probably can get a nice home for 70 grand. But anyway, but he said, hey, could I have some money? And I said, can I have $20? Now that is an impressive, that's your $70,000 a year homeless guy from your $40,000 a year homeless guy. This guy went right for $20. I was very impressed, but he didn't get it. I said to him, I didn't have cash. I don't have any cash. I said, credit card. You know what he said? He goes, there's an ATM right down the street. We can go. And I said, I can't. My Uber came. But still, again, very impressed with him. I would say he is like the big time. Like he's a 75 grand guy, I would say. Because of that, the way he maneuvered, very aggressive, you know, went right for the 20. But, you know, but there was grinders, I'm sure, out there making 50, 60. But could you imagine 70 grand? And if you do it well, you could do it well, right? What if you were like the best at that?
If you put the effort in.
If you put the effort in, if the average income 60 to 70, you could get a home, get a nice home, get a real, so they're going to have like a nice apartment and go out and do the thing and sit there with a little, if you get a dog.
You got to get a dog.
If I had a dog, me and Larry, Larry's a cute dog. If I put like a little sweater on Larry and I go to Portland, I remember sitting there thinking, I don't want to brag or anything, but I really
grand.
I think I'd be a 70, 85. I think I'd go 85.
Easy. I think
I'd be a high upper echelon guy to do that. I'd have Larry. Now you would be six digits.
Six digits.
Yes, you're 100 grand. I'll tell you why. Harmonica. Boom.
Oh, I could play the harmonica.
You have the harmonica. You know, have a little bit of the disheveled look. You have to mess your hair up a little bit. It goes sideways. The hair has to go weird. And if you get a monkey, really make a lot of money, I'm sure. Monkeys are very good little squirrel monkeys.
Yeah, our issue is totally different here. And the people that are, you know, living under a bridge. I met that Dr. Jim Withers, who's created street medicine, where this is a guy, think about a heart of somebody like this who goes out. And he created the whole street medicine where he took medicine to people. And a lot of people in those conditions have mental health issues.
And a lot of these people, I know some people, you know, live on the South Side that I've become friends with. I know some reason, they're people that have, you know, war veterans, and they work really hard, and they can't make enough for their rent. They try to have an apartment, and it's hard. They really have a hard time out there. So, you know, they're hard working, good, trying to get a job, or, you know, between jobs, or having some ailments. There's a lot of, so give to your local food bank and, you know, or local, you know, mission. And there's a lot of great ones around Pittsburgh, you know, so.
Well, I got something for you. I'm going to shift gears on you. Okay. I did a scene in a movie. 3 years ago.
Wait, is this the one? Do I remember this? Is this one you did you wear a mustache?
Yes. I remember it.
I remember you. Why did I remember you wearing the mustache? Did you wear it out?
No, but I sent you a picture.
No, that was it. Okay. I couldn't remember you wore the mustache. Yeah. Because they had to glue it on, the whole like a bristle.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. It was intense.
It was really. I didn't recognize you in the photo, man.
The movie is called Unsinkable. It's being produced here in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Brian Hartman is the executive producer. His son Cody's the director. Yeah. Brian co-wrote the screenplay.
Okay.
And they've been trying to get this story about the legal battle that went on after the ship sank.
Mm-hmm.
So the William Penn doubled as the Waldorf Astoria. I was a reporter.
That's
and
right.
We ran in to ask this guy questions who was a survivor, but uh-huh. he was one of the crewmen on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all documented. This is real stuff. So COVID hits, puts their production, flattens everybody.
There's a lot of production.
And they got this big budget. They got a lot of work to do. So Brian calls me just the other day. And he said, Larry, I would like if you could get a couple of your celebrity friends to be in a court scene. Now, you're going to be senators or something. You're going to be at this principal's table.
Mm.
So you're going to be in this shot. And it's going to take about 2 days to go through all these scenes. And who do you think? And I go, Jim Crenn. And I swear, Jimmy, he goes, hell yeah.
You really?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He goes, hell yeah. Do you think you can get him? There's not a lot of money in it, but I go, I'll call him.
I work for food.
And then I was looking at for pictures. So I sent him a picture of you and I at Steamworks.
Okay.
And he goes, perfect. Because it's a period piece. So you got the, you know,
you got
that little grop, you know.
Yes, I look like a guy from the 1912 or whatever it was, or 1919 guy. A lot of people say that.
So then I said, who else? Look. And I was paging. Mm-hmm. So at the O'Reilly Theater, I did A Few Good Men. I was a judge in a Marine Corps uniform. Then I split the role with Rocky Blyer.
The Rock.
I called The Rock.
It's awesome.
So The Rock, I think he can do... I think he's going to come.
Wait, is Rock going to be this with us?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
I called Rocky.
It's
getting
better.
How would you like to be in a movie with Jim Crenn?
And you and I.
And he goes, I think I'll do it. So
this is huge. This is big.
This is big.
I am so excited about hanging with Rocky. And you
know
what? You and I hang with Rocky.
Forever, you and I,
we'll be in that movie, too.
We always talk about the movies. Everybody wants to be in
movies.
A movie.
It's so fun that we'll be able to see the movie. You, me, and Rocky Blair. Be awesome.
And Rocky was all in. I mean, he was excited about it.
Oh, Rock has to do it. I hope he does.
So they said that if things go well,
okay,
they have most of it in post-production, but they had to shoot some additional scenes. This is one of them, the courtroom scene. This is a big scene. And if we're in it, we're going to be in it.
I got to have a good face expression.
People go to the movie. You got to go.
Mug. Yeah.
You got to look. Like, okay, I'll throw out something at
good.
You and you just react.
Good.
Here's Jim Crenn, even though it's the audio portion of our podcast.
No, here's the video, too.
We'll maybe.
There's video over there.
Maybe I'll take a little video of you. In fact, I can do that right now.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to take a video. I'm just going to throw something at you.
You direct
me. Jim, you're sitting at the table.
Go ahead. At the table.
You're observing the courtroom observation.
Right. Okay.
And all of a sudden, some shocking testimony comes out.
Okay, ready?
Shocking, Jim.
Now, this is the way I do it.
All right.
I'm subtle.
Okay.
Very much subtle.
You want subtle.
I'm subtle. I'm not like, say it's shocking. I'm not like, oh, not like that. I'm like going.
Nice. Nice technique.
Like that.
That was strong.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, give me another
one. Now I'm getting, this will be easy for you.
I got it.
Okay. A little comic relief, something in the courtroom makes everybody chuckle.
Ready?
Yeah.
Subtle.
Oh, God, that's so believable.
That's it, like that.
All right, I'm going to throw you a curveball with this
one. Give me some challenge.
All right, here you are. Suddenly, you're recognized in the courtroom as being an exorcist.
Okay. Get out! Get out, you devil!
I love that.
I possess me. I'm repossessing you. Then I laugh. My chuckle again.
Oh, I got
more drama. Give me
I got to post this. This is strong. I think you're going to nail it.
I am so excited.
So you in?
Yeah, man.
Should I let them know?
Hell yeah. Tell me, Rocky, and you were signing the deal. We want $2.5 million for this picture. We'll sequel. We'll go for $5 million as it grows. We want 2 points. Went 2 points, Tom. 3 points, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means. That means nobody ever gets paid.
I want 3 points. In the, I know. You get points. Produce movies. That doesn't mean anything.
That means nobody gets paid.
No.
All right. I want to ask you. I see, Jim, you're wearing a new bracelet. I want to ask you about that.
Yeah. Cool.
It's Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn. Sheila Hyland back with us in a couple of episodes from Corbrywood Studios here in West Deer. And we want to thank A Face for Radio Productions executive Jim Pitolsky. It's episode 28. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn. Sheila Hyland back with us in a couple of episodes. By the way, next episode, you're going to meet the artistic director of the O'Reilly Theater, the Pittsburgh Public Theater downtown. Jim, this is big. Man. This could be our break, because when we
movies
see
the
her,
yeah, I do
we'll be on the precipice of
right.
doing another movie.
Right.
And then, who knows, maybe some stage work.
We go to stage. We tell them, we want to dial it down a little bit. Larry and I will look and go, look, we've done enough movies with Rocky Blyer. We want to go back to our roots, back to the theater where
stage.
Where it belongs. The
thespian.
Theater. Yeah, back
on
to
the boards
where we could just be with people again. The cameras are wonderful, but Larry and I want to be back to people, back in our roots. So I'm in. Yeah.
Have you ever done a stage play? I mean, I know obviously with your comedy, you've been on many stages.
I was in about 7 movies, But one stage play, I was a kid. I was Luther Billis in South Pacific in our high school musical at North Catholic. That was my only stage play.
No way.
Yeah, I was played the Luther. But it was fun. But I was, won a talent show and the director of the place that you want to have a role for you and made me this character in South Pacific. It was cool. It was fun. So, but that was the only stage play that I, was ever in front of an audience. In. So besides, performing live, stand up and all that kind of stuff.
But well, that is about to change, my friend. Mariah C. Kaminsky. You're going to meet her. She's going to change your life.
I could see us. You and
either
I
that it. Or we're going to get thrown out of our own podcast.
No, we want to be in the production of Pittsburgh production of Cats or something, you and I. You know?
Late you know what? I'll tell you. I was asked to be, what an
don't
extra is, obviously.
Yes, don't tell me you're going to be a cat.
No.
And Cats, I would over right now.
And by the way, I've seen it, has not been seen yet, but what? It's an unfinished movie called The Great One.
Oh.
You play a great scene in that. I've seen it because I was there at the editing room speaking of
Brian.
That's
going to be a great movie. That's going to be a great movie.
People in Pittsburgh are going to love that.
The late, great Russ Babine is his project. And he was one of the nicest human beings, a brilliant man, just kind.
He passed because of cancer way too young, but his whole life's mission was to make this film. Jim's in it with a speaking role.
He was such a kind man, Russ, and he made sure I had this role that really is it's a great role he gave me. It was really funny. Nice character. It's a funny kind of character, It's not a comedy, but he gave me the comedic role, so it's kind of him.
You still would like to act.
I love acting. I love doing it. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. My friend Chris Robert put me in a couple movies and had other Tom McGallis and a few movies here and Russ Bean's movie. And so I did maybe, little roles here and there. So I love it. Yeah, I do love it. You like it too, though. You're behind the scenes and on. You like camera, right? You like acting.
I always thought that the acting part was pretty amazing. I mean, I just didn't think I could make money or as a living. 95% of actors are unemployed.
I was in a movie. It's on, you get it on Amazon. It's on demand, Another You. It's a cool movie. Diego Boneta who was in Rock of Ages. He's a star. But anyway, a scene, I'm a professor in the movie. And where the leads, Mika Senya Solo and Diego Boneta, are the two stars of the movie. Another Year. So I am in a scene with these two real great actors. Diego Boneta is a huge actor, like in Mexico and South America.
The Hispanic community?
He's huge, yeah. So really nice guy, great actor, Ksenia also. But I had about maybe like 10 lines, maybe 8 lines, whatever. But it was interesting. In the 2 days we shot, it reminded me of stand-up a lot to do because I had to get my 10 lines, 12 words, hit the spot, don't sound like you're reading, act it out. But the interesting thing is you have to do the exact same thing like over this shoulder, that shoulder, like nine different ways.
It's tedious.
It's tedious to hit the same way in the same movement, the same, you know, voice inflection and everything. So it is tedious. I'm amazed. The energy you put out is more than you think.
A hell of a lot more than ends up on film.
Because you're in that fight or flight mode.
It's extremely tedious.
And when you're not a star, when you're just, you know, a side role guy, it's not funny to mess. You can't mess up because it costs money.
Right.
Time is money there. And so, you know, how they have the outtakes where people are laughing, bloopers. Only the stars could do that.
Right.
But when you're not, no bloopers. Can't do that because that's money.
Well,
so you gotta know your lines.
Have you ever been to an opera?
Opera? Yeah. Bantam of the Opera. Does that count?
No.
I don't know. It's the closest I've ever
You come. Remember... He used to run the Pittsburgh Opera. Do you remember a guy named...
Lead. I never heard a real opera, no. I don't think I'd be allowed in one.
The only one I was ever at...
I think I banned from operas, I'm pretty sure.
I was in.
You read an opera?
Yes. Do you know what they call an extra in an opera? A supernumerary.
Get the hell out of here.
No, big. So...
Why don't you just call them an extra?
I agree.
Supernumerary.
But opera, it's like you want to be... So
you're a little above everything when you're an opera person. Supernumerary.
On my radio show, luminary. I was doing TV at the time.
Yeah. You're an opera? You sang?
The old Pittsburgh opera leader was a guy named Tito Cavabianco.
Okay.
Do you remember that name at all?
I don't know how you remember names like this. You're amazing.
Tito Cavabianco.
You remember names like...
Jim, do you ever remember hearing Tito Cavabianco?
I do not.
Well, he had this really rich voice, and he said... This was live on the air.
Yeah.
And he asked the same question I just asked you. Larry, have you ever been to the opera? And I said, just in Miami at the Opera House. I saw Phantom of the Opera.
There you go.
He started laughing. He goes, oh, Larry, you're so funny.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, I realized Phantom's a musical.
Count. Yeah, it is. It doesn't count.
So.
Counts for me.
He said, how would you like to be a supernumerary? And I go, what's that?
You say this,
he said, well, it's like an extra in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a two-part TV series.
As you as a supernumerary.
I went to get my costume, and the guy comes out, and I said, where's my costume? And he has it on. It's like an Egyptian loincloth.
Oh, no.
And he's waving, and he goes, here you go.
Is this video anywhere? Is there video of this anywhere? I swear to God, I'd pay right now. I will pay. Jim, I'll pay. I don't care what it is.
So I say to him.
Check.
I say to him.
See Larry in a loincloth.
I go, where's the rest of it?
Yeah.
And he goes, this is it.
Wow.
So
don't tell him you have a photo. Do you have a photo of it?
No, I don't.
Come on. Yes, you do. You're lying. You do.
So I said, my body is so white, I'm almost transparent.
Yeah,
how can I look like a Middle Eastern in the... This is Aida, which is an Egyptian theme, right? So
you'd be the...
They said, he goes, we're going to paint your body. So they had...
They painted your body. They painted it.
A team of people painted my entire body.
You would need a team.
I looked super tan.
You would need a team. You need the team.
Oh, my gosh.
You just can't. One person can do. They walk and go, one person cannot do this. Call the team right now.
So then I am.
Get the team in here.
With the guys that are.
Call Sherman Williams. Get this guy painted. Get them all out here.
I was with the guys that I was going to be on stage with.
Yeah.
And I said, what's our motivation, guys? And they go, it's the triumphant march. Like, don't you get, like
where have you been?
Oh, we're excited.
Where you been, Phantom of the Opera boy?
I said, so what are we?
You don't know you're done,
They said, well, we're playing roles.
Supernumerario?
Well,
whatever it's called.
Supernumerario.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. All right.
No, it's not a guy. It's a thing. It's like an extra.
Supernumerario.
I said, what are we? He said, paprieros. I said, what's that mean? Street swine. Oh, typecasting.
It's also an appetizer.
So
at Bravo, by the way. But anyway.
So anyway, I ended up being in an opera, but never actually attending.
That's pretty cool, though. You were in an opera.
I was in one.
There aren't many people who've been in an opera or allowed in an opera, probably. Did you sing at all? Did you do a little singing?
No. They told me.
You weren't allowed?
No, I had to fake it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you just sank an opera?
And when I stepped back, I was asking the guy, when are we singing? They were about to sing. And as soon as I stepped back, I stepped on his foot and they started singing. Oh!
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
True story.
I would give anything to see you painted on with the loincloth. That must be hysterical.
Let me see if I can dig that up for our next episode.
Because, oh, man, that's huge.
We can show Mariah C. Kaminsky,
your role,
artistic how
you
director.
Stretch a role. You can do anything.
I forgot to tell her.
Yeah, you got some stage work.
I'm in it.
Yeah, man.
In an opera.
That's pretty cool.
You want to see my Egyptian
work.
Thong?
That was meantime, the only. No, there's the end of your stage work. Any other stage work?
Not for. Well, I did A Few Good Men.
On stage? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That was the O'Reilly Theater.
Oh, that was a theater
legit.
Thing. I didn't know you did that on a theater.
I'll show you a picture.
Film. I thought you were only a film guy. I didn't think you did theater.
No, I did
theater.
I thought
you strictly film. I thought Larry strictly film.
No, and
film.
Thanks to you, I did stand-up at Steamworks.
I know you've done stand-up.
In 10 minutes.
Actually, great 10 minutes. Really impressed, actually.
You killed it, by the way. And I want to give TJ Klusavage.
Yes. We did a fundraiser with TJ for autism. It was fun.
He bills himself as the autistic comic. Very brave of him to get up and do that. He's really sharp, and that was a lot of fun. Now, shout out to John Vento and Steamworks and everybody that supports that. And that was very gracious of you. Yeah, that's we're going to end on the bracelet. Yeah. So I told you I wanted to know where, Jim, you got this bracelet. So it's describe
my,
it.
My friends Rich and Laura, you know, I grew up Catholic, and they got this from Medjugorje, and it's the actual stones from where the Blessed Mother, you know, appeared, whatever. And so they got me this bracelet, which I was really honored and excited. So thanks, Rich and Laura, for this bracelet. So we were just talking. You said, "Where's?" And I said, "What's Medjugorje?" And you said you were just talking about.
It's so crazy. So, wow. You and I have this coincident thing going where things happen, and we just go,
God
really
works in mysterious ways, right?
Last night, I was talking to a gentleman about, I once got a rosary blessed at Medjugorje, and we were talking about a mutual friend that had passed from cancer. And I said, when I saw him, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. But something told me, give him those rosary beads.
Wow, yeah.
And I did. In his final days,
wow,
I gave the Medjugorje rosary
that's
beads.
That's pretty cool, man.
And
pretty
now
powerful stuff.
You've brought out this bracelet.
Yeah, it came out. This happened randomly. I got it a couple weeks ago. Just put it on today. Just had it in drawers. I don't know why. Something impulsive.
You don't have to give it to me, but so, I am looking at it longingly.
Well, it's a gift.
No, we'll go.
I would love to go to Medjugorje. Wouldn't it be cool?
I can wonderful. Make that happen.
You are a travel guy. When are we going to do some? Yeah, we're going to do some traveling, man.
We
got
to talk.
We did Italy.
We got some invites to do some really cool stuff.
I'm ready. I'm packed.
Wait till
I'm
Sheila hears.
Yeah, packed and ready to go. Got my shot. Got my passport. Got all my shots. Got everything.
Jim Krenn, movie maker now on stage.
Yes.
Unsinkable.
Yes. Still have not done theater, but I'm working, once. It's high school, but that doesn't count. I mean, you have to, your theaters. I want major theater.
You want big theater.
I don't have that yet,
though. You want.
I could just say, we could just say I only do film, though. It's got like that kind of cooler shit. Jimmy just does film.
Jimmy is just on film.
He's just a film. So, you know.
Well, thanks, brother.
I don't do TV. I just do film.
I feel like we just had a conversation.
We did have a conversation.
This is what we talk about.
When we're having lunch. When we're having a Manny sandwich in front of us.
And then we're usually scheming on how we're going to make millions of dollars with the Yinzer stuff.
We're making it. We're getting there, buddy. We're getting there.
It's happening.
Slowly but surely, inch by inch. Thanks to you.
We'll tell you about the Yinzer hot dog. Face for Radio Productions, Jim Patulski, thank you. Really cool space out here. John Vento's Corbury Wood Studios.
Why can't you say that? You're like the best announcer, but the one's the best in the country, actually. And for some reason, that word gets you.
What is it?
You could say anything. Corbury Wood. I can't say it either. Corbury Land. Would you say?
Corbury Wood.
Yeah, you would see.
Is that right?
Yes.
It sounds like you're not saying it right, but you are.
Corbury Wood. I've been called Corbury Wood for like 4 years.
Corbury Wood.
Yeah, I call it Corbury Wood till today. So
by the way, I'm going to be a guest public address announcer for the Pirates.
Oh,
for a few games, because Tim DeBacco,
is there
who was
anything
there
you don't do? You
34
do
seasons.
He's everywhere. I swear to God, I was at the Rivers Casino with my mother playing slots, and there's Larry's voice going, Jim, how are you doing? And what the hell's going on? Larry's
welcome to Rivers Casino.
Yes, Larry's piped through there. Everywhere I go, Larry's
what
voice
what position did you
me.
Play in Little League?
I was a left fielder.
Left fielder, Jim Krenn.
Thank you very much.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Number one.
Batting third.
And episode 28. I want to thank Dick Roberts, our producer, and Sheila will be back in a couple of episodes from her journeys west. Meantime, Odyssey, that's a free app you can download, or kdkradio.com. And episode 28, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland is a wrap. Mm-hmm.
that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.